Lord, thank you that you anoint me to preach, not just to bathe in your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you speak. Thank you, Lord, that I just commit myself and my thoughts and all of the amazing testimonies in my life. I just ask, Lord, just pull the files that you want to pull today. Because it was so difficult just to decide. So have your way, Lord, and may you speak to your people. And thank you, God, for the grace and the just your grace to be a conduit, to be a tool in your hand, all of us. But I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, ever since I can remember, I had a passion for truth. Man, I had a passion for the truth. Who of you guys have ever had a passion for truth and justice? Even in my lost state in the world, there was something hidden very deep, 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 somewhere inside where justice and righteousness and truth. I think we all have it. I'm not special, but I think we all have just this yearning for purity and truth in life. And what is truth? By the grace of God, obviously, we got saved. I got saved, and God is slowly but surely taking me through the processes, the mining processes to get that which is truth, that which is sacred, that which is amazing. And sometimes it feels like these things are hidden. It's not that easy to be found. Because I've said to the Lord, He can just splash His truth. He can just splash who He is on billboards. He can do much bigger things than that, yet He decides many a times to hide things. Almost like the golds and the diamonds that we can eagerly so yearn after, run after. He hides these things. The truth and the truth of His voice, the truth of His message, the true things of life. But we know that Scripture says it's the glory of God to hide a matter. And it's the honor of a king to search it out. And I think I've given, and to a big degree, I've given my life to that journey. The honor to seek it out. And if you want me to know what floats my boat, what ticks me, what like let my baby leap and all of that stuff, it's that. It's to be a warrior seeking that stuff that God has sometimes hidden. And that was not the intro that you expected or I expected, but last week we spoke about the season and that we need to breathe spiritually. And I've just come to realize, and I asked the Lord, what do you want to speak about today? And He said, prophecy. Now, obviously, the best entrance will be to call out a couple of names and prophesy and trust the Lord for that. But I believe God wants us to almost go a bit deeper today. A lot of it will be teaching, but a lot, I trust, is that He will just come and shine His light over our hearts again. Just come and take us back to basics. Not that it's needed. That's also why I didn't open the floor. I just believe the Holy Spirit said, don't open the floor this morning. Because if an example pops up, it's not got nothing to do with anybody in church. It's just principles. God said to me clearly today, prophecy, and I believe there's a good reason. Firstly, I'm going to stand in faith that God enlarges our prophetic gift. Not just individually, but corporately as well. Because we should be a prophetic voice in this area. We should know what God is busy with. We read the seasons, we understand the seasons as they come and go, yet do we know the things that God is saying and doing in this season? We were caught unaware or caught off guard this morning by the storm. Who wants to be caught off guard by the spiritual storms? No, we don't. Sorry, no, definitely not. No, we don't want to. But that comes out of intimacy. That comes out of the prophetic and spending time with the Lord and understanding Him. And last week we said that we should take a breath now and again. And there's nothing in the life, in my Christian walk, that has ever given me such life and breath in moments than a word spoken in season. A prophetic word spoken in season. I've said this before, but maybe not all of you have heard it, but just after I got saved, I was in a state. I was in my car and broken, totally broken. And Edna and a friend, which is now my friend as well, Yaniku Walker, she lives a whack life. Amazing whack life for God. lives out in America. She's been in Mozambique. She's been in England. They've got two kids, and they're just going around the place. But anyway, long story short, she and Edna prayed for me that one morning, one afternoon. I went through. I was saved now, but still pretty broken. And they just prayed for me. Afterwards, Edna said that as she laid hands on me, the pain just shot up in her arm, up till the ear, up to her. And just the physical pain, and that's many a times what we go through. So what is in the spirit just reflects in our emotions and even then manifests physically. So, and I think I wasn't too good looking in the spirit either. There was probably a bit of a stench around me because of the sin and stuff that I was busy with for most of my life. And I've said this before, and unfortunately there's no better way of putting it in the same words as Vorsi in Vetkoekpaleis, but I felt like Brommerboli. Now, I can't say that in English, and I'm not even going to try, but that's more or less, tongue in cheek, how I felt. That nothing can lift me up from this place. Nothing can take me out of this pit. Yet they prayed for me. They prayed a lot of stuff. But then they prophesied something. And they prophesied what God was saying about me. And they said, "You are a faithful warrior of God." And here I was, totally broken man. Totally with a stench in the spirit. Full of sin and stuff and struggles. And dear Makar, like you have no idea. And God comes and says, "You're a faithful warrior of God." And he speaks it over me. And it just breaks something in my innermost being. Nothing might have changed in that moment physically or emotionally to a big degree, but spiritually, poof. It's as if a rock was just cracked open and living waters were just gushing and bursting forth. Now, it's a bold statement, but I believe all through my Christian walk, God has prophesied me out of hell. God has been prophesying, and I'm not putting prophecy above God, Christ, or anything. Hear my heart today. Because I believe it's a very, very, very good underutilized tool in the kingdom. But it needs to be worked correctly. And the fear of the Lord. God had prophesied me out of hell over a season or two in my life. I'm thankful to my wife for that, and obviously the people that God has placed in my heart. It wasn't a one-on-one thing, just me and God. A lot of that was the case. But it was people clearly speaking the oracles, the truth of God into my life, into moments that saved me. And those prophecies were breaths of life through the Spirit of God that kept me alive. And to this day, I need them. Not as much, I think, as a case of life and death as before, but to know where to go, to know to be strong. Whose little one is that? Right. Oh, sister. Thank you, Lord, for a breath of life for her in this moment. Today we're going to share a bit about prophecy, and I'm going to do a fair bit of teaching. Hopefully not too much, because it's not what you guys are used to. But I do believe we need to just quickly run by the basics. Because either God is saying this because it's a forewarning and say, hey, be careful of the times you're in concerning prophecy. Or God is, and that's what I'm also trusting for, going to enlarge our abilities and our gifting amongst each other to prophesy. But hey, we're family, and there's place to learn and there's place to grow. And that's what I hope you guys hear today. There's so many prophets and stuff these days going around. Who's on Facebook pages and Google and things? And there's many people posting stuff saying, "Thus says the Lord." A lot of people. And unfortunately, it's not always the case of "thus says the Lord." Or it might be sometimes a case of God has given them three words, which is awesome, and that was God. But yet the paragraph and the sentences and the whole book that follows after those three words were not born out of the heart of God. Now, hear my heart today. We're not criticizing anybody or anything. We just say, hey guys, we need to be sharp. Awesome, wakker wees. We need to be awake in this time and not miss what God is doing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you would have taken the prophetic out of, which is impossible, but if you hypothetically would have taken the prophetic out of my Christian walk, I would have been an absolute dud. There's so many. I've got journals, about five or six journals, you claim bookies, that's written full of stuff that God has said to me through people, through the scripture, through times of worship and vision and dreams. It's amazing. I have all of them come true, No. Was my interpretation of all of them 100% correct? No, absolutely not. But God is a good God that will come and He will help you to sift through the things. He will send a fire many a times to come and burn away the chaff, burn away the stuff. If you take a piece of gold or a diamond out of the ground, it doesn't look the way it looks on my wife's finger. Praise God. But it goes through processes. So, hey, guys, be open to what God is saying, but also be open to the process of God to say, God, come and purify this thing. Come and knock it into shape. Come and place a lekker knut on it so that it can be presentable and understandable for us humans. You get the heart. Prophecy is a massive blessing. It's a massive gift. And I want us to, all of us, every single one of us, I want us to run in the fullness of that gift. But it's a massive responsibility. And I believe and I know that Shofar especially, we're not more special than any other church or denomination, but we have an inclination towards the prophetic many a times. That's why the persecution also comes. And the prophetic has not always been perfect. But no, God is calling those sons and daughters to say, are you willing to come and seek and knock and ask? Are you willing sometimes to wait and shush until you understand and until it's easily seeable? And you get the heart of it. Now, I need to probably get to the teaching part of this. What is prophecy? What is prophecy? Who of you guys have received the prophecy in your life? No, really. Who have never received a prophecy in their lives? I wanted to say that it's impossible that if you're in this church, you've never received the prophecy, we're really sinning big time. But yeah, we all have heard it. We all have had experiences of prophecy in our life. And it is as wide as the ocean. And we're going to do a small bit of teaching very quickly about that. You can do Bible school if you want to understand all the details of it. But we're going to run and we're going to go catch the heart, I believe. This morning we're going to hunt. We're going to dig. We're going to mine for the heart of prophecy. In my humble opinion, you're going to go and test it. And if you don't like it, no, I'm sure you'll like it. Don't worry about that. Most basically, prophecy is a message from God. I was at that morning that Edna and Yannick prayed for me. Nothing could change my life. Nothing can change my heart. Nothing could have changed the emotional state in which I was, except if God Himself, God the Father, came and He spoke into my heart. That overrode all the pain, all the emotions, all the baggage, all the sin, all the stench in the spirit. It overran all of that. Just a clear, concise message from God. One sentence changed my life. Do you have any idea how many times I fall back into that sentence? You guys know the Malmesbury season in our lives, or know quite a lot of it. 3.5 years without income, without anything else but a fair bit of persecution from people, even Christians, can you believe? And then I had to fall back on. Not only that word, but that word especially. The dictionary, the Strong's dictionary, says the following about prophecy. Prophecy. And I'm not going to try the rest, but you can read it because it's true. The definition is prophecy, prophesying, the gift of communicating and enforcing revealed truth. I said earlier, I've got a heart for truth. Revealed truth. All of us face situations in our lives, sometimes dire situations, and in that situation, God can always have an opinion. You might not know what the opinion is because you do not ask, but He can always have an opinion. He can always have a revealed, enlightened truth about your situation, your circumstances, your heart, your well-being. That is revealed truth. In a moment, I was sitting with Edna and Yaniku. I was totally in my cuss. And God came and He just said, this is what I see. This is what I think. Now, to trust what He thinks, to believe what He believes, that's a story or sermon for another day. I can't make you to trust. That comes through a relationship. That comes through taking the word as it is and believing and have faith. That comes over time. And we're not going to talk about trust this morning. But we want that nuggets of revealed truth, because that nuggets of revealed truth will keep us alive. Who here seeks a couple of nuggets of revealed truth in their lives? Who cares about a couple of nuggets of revealed truth, now that I see them, Ryan, for this country? Who wants a couple of nuggets of revealed truth for the children that were standing here? Who believes that the right nuggets of revealed truth at the right time in the right seasons, either prophesied or spoken into these little hearts, will change destinies? Will change eternities, little eternities forever? You believe? Okay, well, we've got a lot of faith, so we've got a lot to work with. Praise God. Now, we need to go back to the Word, and we've got people like Omyahan here that knows the Word, so I can't speak a lot of nonsense. So where does prophecy come from? And we go to the Old Testament first. And there was the reason for prophecy in the Old Testament were twofold. Well, most importantly, twofold. And the reasons for that was the following. Firstly, to testify of the coming Messiah. They were waiting for the Savior. They were waiting for this king to come and rule and take over and be bigger than the Roman Empire and just jump all of that to come and save them and lead them. They were looking for this Messiah. And so many of the prophets came and they prophesied things about the Messiah. I'm not going to look at all of the scriptures, but just one so that you can believe what I'm saying. Jeremiah 23:5 says the following. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up from David a righteous branch. You can just go to the next slide. Yeah, there you go. No, okay, it's not on there. You can go back to... Apologies. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and that branch is with a capital B, referring to Jesus. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In these days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. So here's a testimony about whom? The Messiah, about Jesus Christ. He will be called the Lord's righteousness. So now for us, this is a nice story. And yes, okay, true reflection of prophecy were in the Old Testament. And we already knew that. But to these people, it was a pocket. It was a gem. It was a life-saving breath in that moment that somebody came and said, well, the dire straits, the horrible situation that you're currently facing and that you're in, don't worry. The Messiah is coming. Somebody's coming to save you. It is as if I was drunk as a stupor somewhere in Stellenbosch way back, totally have forgotten all about the true foundations of life and the things of love and the things of marriage. Totally broken. And somebody just coming along and say, don't do anything now. Don't believe anything now. But I know a Savior that's got your number. And to that gentleman there, which I was at that case, or at that stage, a gem like that means a lot. Now, second to that, in the Old Testament, prophecy were used for the following, to turn the hearts of the people back to the heart of God. To turn the heart of the people back to the heart of God. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud, and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Isn't that life's story? Hasn't that been life's story all along? Now, I know Matthew is in the New Testament, but yet it refers to the prophet of the Old Testament. You'll see it there. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come on. Sort out your heart. Turn back. What did we do this morning when we read Psalm 153 about the nations, the silver and the gold? What are we doing? We're just saying, mos check ons harte. Who's the God in your heart? Or sometimes, who are the gods in your heart? Can they speak? Can they hear? Anyway, that's what John the Baptist called. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In other words, Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament already, was saying, a man will come and he will be John the Baptist. He didn't use that word. He will come to make the road, or make the path straight. To say, hey, word wakker. Die Messias is om die draai. And us as people, for us again, we might look from this from the outside, looking in, from the peripheral vision, and think, oh, what does that have to do with us? Many a times we find ourselves in these situations. Examples quickly of prophets in the Old Testament, and there's a lot. Amos, he warned Israel of its coming judgment. Israel rejects God's warning. Jonah, well, no, yeah. I've read that story so many times. It was Frida's favorite. I don't know what she's going to do one day when she's growing older. I hope it's not a prophetic story that I've been reading. But Jonah, proclaiming, God is maybe speaking to me. Anyway, does anybody know where Nineveh is? Jonah proclaims a coming judgment upon Nineveh's people, but they repent and judgment was spared. Malachi, we all read the book of Malachi, and it's not all about money. God's people are lax in their duty to God, growing distant from God. Moral compromise, proclamation of coming judgment. Long story short, there's prophecy all over the Old Testament. But unfortunately, in the dispensation we currently find ourselves, a religious spirit has come in with a lie many a times that prophecy was meant to be and stay in the Old Testament. Prophecy was just meant for the reflection towards, or showing towards, or finger towards Jesus, the Messiah. And yet, once it's been fulfilled, we don't have prophecy no more. But luckily, all of you guys that have received prophecy and seen it to be true in your own life know that that's nonsense. But yet, we can give an account and we can chat to people about that outside. Now, in the New Testament, what has changed? In the New Testament, there's still prophecy. But the mere fact that it was... Sorry. The mere fact that prophecy was reserved for priests and Levites or ministers of the gospel, ministers of God's temple in that case, have changed now, and it is available to whom? All of us. Say, all of us. Say, I can prophesy. You can start an American church. I can prophesy. Yes, it's been poured out, God's Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. And now each and every one of us, believing in Christ, being filled by the Holy Spirit, can prophesy. So you don't have to be a Levite, a priest, and for seker nie a pastoor nie. And we all are able to and can prophesy. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So it's by one Spirit that all of us can prophesy. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So, Old and New Testament, and you don't need any examples of New Testament prophecies because you've seen it in your own life. And obviously you do see it in the Word as well, and just the prophetic way in which Jesus operated. Now, prophetic forms, I'm just going to mention them just to, so that you can, if you, by any chance, and I don't think anybody here is totally unsure of what prophecy is, but just, I'm going to run by the forms. We're not going to go into the detail of the Scripture, but it's a mental image or impression. I get, that's many a times, that envisions are many a times prankies. Who's received prankies? I asked Frida the other night, come, let's pray, or we read Bible, or we want to read Bible, and I'm putting them to bed. And Edna's had the same the other night with her, and I said, well, come, let's pray. Do you want to pray? Well, in Afrikaans, obviously. No, I don't want to pray. I want Jesus to show me pictures. I'm like, okay, cool. That's prayer in another way. So we just close our eyes, and then now we're practicing this gift. We're practicing. I'm just, okay, cool. What is Jesus showing you? Now he's showing me this and this and this. And immediately I sense the Holy Spirit. It might not be that thus says the Lord pictures, but the mere fact that her little heart is eagerly desiring this vision, this gift, is teaching us something. Will we forever only want to see pictures and never pray? No, not at all. But I do believe that in that moment, there's a discipleship moment where she can now start seeing pictures. She might just rock up in school and say, hey, you're from Monique, how are you doing? Funny enough, I just have this picture in my heart for you. Poof. Or she come to me and say, Papa, I've got this picture for you. Anyway. Of what? No. I can't remember the story, but Edna will share an awesome story with you later on. Visions, a trance That seems a bit odd, but go and read Acts 10. Dreams, audible voice. I want to ask, but I'm not going to ask. But it's quite cool to hear the audible voice, I believe, of God. Let me not go there. Words in your mouth, where God just comes and He just places words in your mouth. Who's that had that experience? Just God just comes and He just puts words in your mouth. That's the only way I preach. It's a harapi. Yeah, sometimes hopefully God puts a couple of the words in your mouth. Yes. Music, song, and poetry. I never had that one, the poetry one. Scripture. Obviously, when God comes and He just breathes life into a specific scripture, you've all had that, praise God, where it just rhemas to you. So the Logos word, the written, full extent of Jesus Christ in the written form comes, and God says, well, this part for now, poof, this is important. And your baby leaps, or you just feel it in your spirit, and you know, this is what God is saying to me at this moment. And then an inner witness, and that's got to do with the sermon. Now, here's where I want to go this morning about prophecy. And God said, talk about prophecy. And I was just reminded of, what is the heart of prophecy? Remember, let's get context. There's a lot of people out there speaking the will of God, speaking the word of God. There's a lot of people out there thinking that they are speaking the will and the word of God. There's a lot of written things, said things, audio things, video clips and podcast things where you can get what God is saying. And we need to sift through this jungle of words to get to the nuggets of true silver, the nuggets of true gold, to know what this is actually what God is saying. And for that, what's my Bible? For that, we've got the Word of God firstly. Now, at this moment, because of fear, many a times, the first guy that will grab to his Bible is not wrong. He's not wrong in doing that, in saying, well, this is the Word of God. But sometimes, without knowing it, because of fear, we lose just the spiritual ability of God to speak through us, not only by His Word, in other words, directly. So, be careful of a religious spirit that once bitten, twice shy, so once hurt prophetically, don't then shy it away. But I'm going to get to that just now. But in this moment, we know that God's written word is there for us to what? To use. To use as a backdrop. To know that if not in line with His word, that it's not His word at all. We're going to get to the heart now. And why do we prophesy? Maybe I can quickly ask the question. Why do we prophesy? Encourage. Amen. Edify the body, yes. Why else do we? Van is freaking lekker. This lekker. Who's ever prophesied and wasn't nice? Is it? Hard word. Was it God? Okay, cool. Are you sure? Was it nice? But it was hard for you. It's happened to me as well. I've had cases where I've been jogging and then God says, go and give this word to that very, very rich man. And I get there with my sweaty jogging clothes and I rock up and say, hello, worm. I believe I've got a word from God for you. And that is hard. But it is, once the nail hits the mark, it's quite nice to partner with the Lord. Who's ever enjoyed it to prophesy into somebody's life? I'm glad. There's a couple of Christians. Hallelujah. That's a harapi. That was not a prophecy. That was a joke. Quickly, the goal of prophecy, according to the people that do know, you can go on to the next slide, please. Thank you. The various goals. This is not the heart yet. I'm going to get to the heart now, but let's just run through this for sake of teaching. Firstly, the goal of prophecy is the revelation of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ to be revealed. And you guys can grab the slides later and go check up that all of that scripture. But the next one is unity in the faith. So it's so awesome where somebody just rocks up and say, hey, I just felt God I should be here. No. Stephen told me a testimony just now. He had to meet up with some guy. And what happened? He forgot or you forgot. He didn't come back to you. And then?
Sorry, this is the old friend. So, we were planning to do this thing on Saturday, and he never came back to me, and I went to Canal Walk to do some admin stuff. And then we randomly bumped into each other. Then he told me, God told me to go down the escalator and just wait there. And 2 minutes later, I arrived. He just looked straight into me.
So there you go. There you have it. Prophecy in everyday life. This guy forgot to get back to Stephen. But God didn't. And so they were both, funny enough, at Canal Walk, and he went down the escalator, and then God said to him, "Bait a biki fast, just hang on here." And he did. And here comes Mr. Stephen along. And they do whatever they do. They had coffee or whatever the case may be. But there was unity in faith. Prophetically, God spoke into this gentleman's heart. What was it? A message from God. And he didn't think, "Oh, well, that was weird. There was sick of my gedachtes, or this is my own thinking." And he actually waited, and along came Stephen. There's nothing as amazing as burning and bursting forth in faith when God does that. Let's go to the next one. Correction or conviction? Those ones are quite hard sometimes. I had it the other day. A very good friend of mine, he lives far from here, came over and he said he's going through a very tough time in his life. And let's pray. And we chatted a lot. We had something to drink, and then, not alcoholic, we just had something to drink, and we had the Holy Spirit. And then I just waited on the Lord, and I just say, "Lord, I can see he's in a predicament. He's stretched beyond what he can bear spiritually, and Lord, come and put your finger on it. Remember, reveal truth. Lord, what is revealed truth?" And now my flesh wanted to think up a lot of stuff that this can be, because we have our own subjective judgments many a times of people's lives. Yes, believe it or not, we do. And so I just shouted out to the Lord in my heart. I said, "Come, Lord, come, please." And God revealed to me. I'm not going to say what it was, but if I told any one of you without the Spirit that this is what you struggle with, this is the Spirit you struggle with, you'll be offended. You'll most certainly be offended. And I said, "Well, Brood, I'm just going to be honest. We've been shouting out to the Lord, and he was at a humble place. And I didn't want to necessarily share that word, but when I shared it, poof, tears came down. And his lip was just going up and down like that, and he just started to cry. And I believe it was a foundational lie, a spiritual lie, that has been coming along for a long time. And I just had the privilege in that moment, almost like a doctor where somebody's been hurt for quite a long time, to just be part of that operation, and to see them come out on the other side. There's just nothing like it." But it was a correction, not from my side, but from God's side. But it was so beautiful how he SMS'd me, WhatsApped me later that day and said, "I'm in the Word. I'm back in God's presence, like, not like never before, but like it was way back. And it's just amazing." And I'm just like, "Yes, Lord." Yeah, even if it's a tough or a hard word, in season, in the right moment, with the right heart, it's like gold. So we said, correction, conviction, edification, exhortation, direction, preparation, separation, impartation, and prediction. A lot of shins. Go and read the scripture, and it'll make sense to you, but we're quickly going to get to the heart of prophecy. And it's found in the following scripture in Revelation, I believe. And I said that this is the heart, this, I believe, is the heart of prophecy. And again, I'll add, this is what I believe. You hear what I'm saying? I believe this is the heart of prophecy. This is the benchmark for me, the foundational truth, which I believe will help all of us. But you can go and test it. I'm going to share with you. Revelation 19:10. "Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God.'" All good. And now just this following line. "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Who understood that line the first time they read it? Not me. Not me at all. So I've listened to a couple of things. It's not the first time I've preached on it, because it's something that's near and dear to my heart, and I've gone and researched it as much as I do. And at first I didn't understand it. In fact, I was quite sort of taken aback by this weird scripture. But I believe once you unpack it, once you unfold it, you get to what the heart of prophecy is. That for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, testimony, if you're going to look it up in the Greek, is martyria. Martyria, that's the word. And it means evidence given, record, report, testimony, or witness. Remember this word, witness. This word in the Greek is also derived from another word that is martyr. And there you've got it. Now, martyr is quite a hectic word in our Western Christian civilization. But martyr, which also essentially means witness. So both of these accounts says that the witness of Jesus. Now, just in layman's terms, I would say, the witness of Jesus is what? The life's story of Jesus. The life story. The accounts of his miracles, signs and wonders. The accounts of his teaching. The accounts of the amazing stuff that he's done. The witnesses, the records. The testimony of Jesus. So we've got that one side. You've got handles on that. The witness of Jesus. This is one side of that scripture. So it's a witness, or in my case, I would have said the life story of Jesus. Okay, you've got handles on the one. We're going to do the other one now. It's the second part. Can I ask that you just turn this a little bit down? Okay. Hello. Cool. Sorry, guys. So the first one, we've got the witness of Jesus. We've got handles on that. The life story, let's call it the life story of Jesus. The second one is the spirit of, is the spirit of testimony. The spirit of something, if a rugby team has a great team spirit, what does that mean? It means that they work together. It's the heart of the team. It's the way in which they operate and conduct themselves. The spirit of something is many times the atmosphere of something or the heart of something. The spirit of. Now I'm going to put it all together. I believe it's going to make sense. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And one can say, and this is my words, but the life story of Jesus is the heart of prophecy. Do I have everybody here? I'm not saying you need to agree, but are you at least hearing what I'm saying as we are unpacking this? The life story of Jesus, what Jesus has done, the witness, the record of Jesus' life is the heart of, the foundation of, prophecy. Now the following question, what did Jesus come and do? Seek and save the lost. What did Jesus come and do in your life? Jesus came to be a bridge between what? You and God. What did Jesus come? He came to restore a broken relationship between man and God. What was his main objective? What was his mandate? What did Jesus come and do? Help Stephen catch a lot of fish? No, not that alone. He wanted all men to be ushered back into God's presence, to be ushered back into a relationship with God. That was the witness. That was the story of Jesus' life. He came to save mankind. To say, hey guys, you've been broken, you've been taken away from God, come. I will be the sacrifice, I will be the bridge. My life will bring you back to God. That was Jesus' story, that's the witness of his life. And that, I believe, is the heart of prophecy. Why do we have prophecy? Why do we have revealed truth in moments? It's to do the same that Jesus did. Is my brother here is going through a tough patch. He's struggling. He's really struggling. And he doesn't know if he's coming or going. And there's absolute chaos in his life. It's absolute hypothetical example. And along comes Demi and says, hey man, I've just had this feeling. God says, poof, reveal truth. That's just a pocket of Jesus there. In that moment, a pocket of Jesus. Because in that moment, the revealed truth helps him to see what God sees. And restores his heart unto God through a prophecy given by her. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The life story accounts of Jesus Christ, the witnesses of all the stuff that he did, all of the stuff that Jesus did, is at the heart of a prophecy. We have prophecy because we need Jesus. And people need God, and that's why we have Jesus. When I go and prophesy, I believe the heart, the mindset should be, Jesus, what would be the way, the truth, and the life in this moment? I've got a brother, I've got a sister, I've got a church in dire straits. God, they need Jesus. What is the way, truth, and life? And God will speak prophetically. The moment we lose Jesus, I believe, as the foundation of the heart and what he did, the mandate he did, the way in which he lived, and we take that out of prophecy, you can still have the gift, but you might just lose the heart. And once he's not the way, the truth, and the life, the only door anymore, things can get a bit weird. Jesus came, and it was all about himself. I'm just checking who's sleeping. Is that a true statement? Jesus came to this earth, and it was all about us and God, but it wasn't about himself. What's the heart of prophecy? It is very nice to give a prophecy, but is it about me or is it about my brother? The life story of Jesus Christ, the witness of Jesus Christ, and all accounts of him and his life on earth is at the heart of prophecy. And I believe should be at the heart of all prophecy. And if we hold fast to that, if we stay humble to that, if we stay teachable to that, I believe we will be able to withhold and withstand just the spiritual pressures and lies flying around and attacking many Christians at this time. As we end off, it's like end off, just to make sure. There's two things that I need to share. Now, why is there such an attack on the prophetic in this day and age? Gives hope. You're right. And it will draw hearts back to God. Yes. Another word for the devil is what? Antichrist. If Christ should be, and the testimony, the world of the life of Jesus Christ should be at the heart of prophecy, will the Antichrist not be against all prophecy? Why is the prophetic people, those with prophetic giftings, prophetic moves of God, why is it so under attack? Because it's pockets of revealed truth, revealed Jesus, revealed way, truth, life to man. To what? Bring hearts back to God. So it's very obvious that the enemy will gun at that which is prophetic. Because he's anti-Christ, I believe, anti-relationship with God, or anti-restoring relationship between man and God. And that's just, he's just doing his job, and it's quite obvious, but we need to remember or remind ourselves of why this is. And that's also why we need to protect that which is godly and which God has given to us. I would love a pocket of revealed truth for my brother now, but let's go on. I've said here, and I've noted in my own life, and I'm the first one to say I love it when God prophesies into somebody's life, and it's really awesome. It's great to partner with him, and you can be all diplomatic about it. But the mere fact that the enemy will try to plant pride into my heart in that moment is just what? Because he's anti this message. He's anti the mere fact that God wants to reveal truth to a certain person and help them and lift them up. So it's very obvious, as I said. But when the prophetic word is more about the giver than the receiver, we're missing the heart of the prophetic. I'm going to say that again. If my prophetic word is more about me giving it than Johan receiving it, if it's more about me, the delivery man, than it is about the heart of Johan that receives the word of God, I've moved away from the heart of Christ. Now quickly, and we're not going to get stuck on the negatives, but we have to chat about them so that we're in good stead of what God is doing and God wants to do. What do we have to do? Firstly, we need to discern. Guys, we need to discern. And I'm going to put up my hand and say, you firstly need to discern. I love the prophetic and I love to speak the things that I believe God is saying, but I do know that 1 Corinthians 13 says that we see in part and understand in part. And I'm part and partial of that. I'm not going to grow into perfection on this earth and then prophesy like a machine and it's always going to hit the mark and be true in the full picture. No, I'm not. So I'm going to be in a place where I say, hey guys, what I say, you need to test. But I'm also in a place where I say, what you say, we're going to test. We're going to test it in love. We're not going to test your character, your personality. We're going to test what you say. There's a difference. There's something to say, Etna bak lekker melk tart. Yeah, guys, Etna's got melk tart. Now you test. Are we testing Edna? No, she's my wife. We're not going to test Edna, not the personality, nothing about her, but we are going to test her melk tart. And you might be walking out there and thinking, oh, God, this bloody slag. Or you might be thinking, oh, Kretief was not lying about the melk tart. It is actually quite nice melk tart. Yes, yes, good taste. But it's the same with the word. We're not going to get into characters. Yes, if there's character flaws, we're going to work through it and God's going to do it. But we are going to say we need to discern and we need to test. The word says the following, 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. The stuff you read, the stuff you see on Facebook, the stuff people love to WhatsApp, weird stuff. And there might be a revealed truth somewhere there at the top, but it gets all weirder, weirder, weirder down to the bottom. Test the spirits operating in that message. But test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone into or out into the world. So we need to discern. Now firstly, there's a gift of discernment in 1 Corinthians 12. You know that by the Holy Spirit you can discern, in other words, judge good or bad. And you can have a supernatural gift to do that. Do you, however, believe that only people that has that gift are able to discern? Right, well, it's a very stupid question, I know, but I do have to check and double check. Every Christian that has received the Holy Spirit, that believes in Jesus Christ, has an ability to discern. Even our children, sometimes better than us, I believe, have got an ability to discern. And do you know what the word says? That we can grow in maturity, and as we grow in maturity, we can grow to discern. Is there still a gift of discernment? Yes, there is. I believe it's an heightened ability, a supernatural ability, but it's not for my sake, but it's many times for ministry's sake or for the churches or the body, the community in which you're in. God has placed you there as an intercessor, a teacher, whomever, or somebody to discern, to say, Heretief, I wonder about the fruit that I see there or whatever the case may be. We're not going to get into it, but I just wanted to check. Everybody can discern. Second thing that we need to do, guys, is we need to judge it. So we firstly need to discern. Secondly, we need to judge it. Yes, we can judge. He who is spiritual judges all things. Now, judgment sounds so hardcore, but it is. The context of judge is to scrutinize, investigate, interrogate, determine from, I'm not even going to say the word, but to examine closely. That's what it is. So we need to examine closely. Not that anybody can get hurt, but we need to acknowledge closely. Why are we doing all of this? Firstly, we don't want to lose the heart of Jesus, the heart of Christ. We want Jesus Christ to be the foundation of all we do, and especially prophecy. And why else do we do that? It's because we love one another. We love one another, and that's why we do that. Who have you disciplined their children? Or I might ask the flip side, who if you do not discipline your children? And in the same breath, I would like to ask, do you actually love them? So there's a part of judging, there's a part of learning, there's a part of discerning that is godly and filled with love. As long as our heart are at the right place, a place of humility on both sides. And moving on. Lastly, and in this case is we need to test that which is false. What out there is false? Let's run through scripture. Beware of false prophets who come out in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? I think not. I'm not going to read the rest. Bottom line is, guys, we can be highly gifted, but without any character. I can use myself and Edna as an example. We moved out to Malmesbury and thought, we can really be a good asset to this place. We thought that we're going to really help these guys and help this town because God has sent us here. You know what? Both of us lost our jobs. We weren't really operating too much in our giftings. And we went through what felt like hell. But yes, even though there were gifts on our lives, not that I'm saying we're all character-filled now, God had to work on our character. Because once the giftings hit the roof, if your character can't hold up at the same speed, the whole thing's going to come crashing down. And God had to start working in our hearts. Guys, we're going to love one another, but we're not going to know each other by our giftings. Because gift has been given to you. You've been blessed by a gift. We're going to know each other by our fruit. Now, none of us are false prophets either, but if we do it in here, we're going to recognize out there that, man, God has blessed that person with amazing giftings. Wow! I honor God for that, and I honor that person. But I don't stay with them. I don't know how they operate with their wives and daughters. I don't know how they operate at work or on the road. Again, we're not going to judge people, but we're going to be aware to what? Firstly, discern. Secondly, we need to judge. And thirdly, we need to check out. And we're going to look for fruit. Because we will know them by our fruits. We can be a church that, and I stand for that, that can prophesy amazingly and people get healed and the supernatural operate. And again, Lord, if you want to pour that out more, I want that. Please, God, I'm first in the queue. But I don't know if it will be a great thing if our church are only known for that. What will be awesome is people start recognizing and knowing this community by their fruit. The 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, compassion, faith, etc. So let's trust God for both. And that's where I really want to end off. And I called this fifth point, babies and bathwater. Yes, we need to discern. Yes, we need to judge. Yes, we need to be careful. And yes, we check out for fruit and not giftings only. But hey, guys, guess what? We're children. We're children of God and we serve a good God. We serve a loving Father. Let's not, because there's nonsense out there, throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's not harden our hearts towards the pockets of revealed truth that daily God wants to give us individually, give our families, give our marriages, give this community, because of other stuff that has happened out there. Even in places where you've been hurt. Let's not stand that in the way of this amazing, precious gift that God's given us. And we're going to stand in faith just now that everybody has that gift. I pray that God, He can decide, but we can ask. The Word says we may ask. Eagerly desire. We're going to get to that now. Let's end off with this scripture, 1 Corinthians 14. Next slide, please. Thank you. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So, hey guys, it is good. It's a good thing to desire spiritual gifts. And above all that you may prophesy. And above all that you may prophesy. But when you prophesy, just do a bit more boldly than that. And above all that you may prophesy, for the person who speaks in another language is not speaking to men but to God, which is also a good thing if you want to prophesy. Since no one understands him, however he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. But the person who prophesies speaks to people for edification, encouragement, and consolation. Who of you guys ever needs encouragement? Who of you ever needs... Where am I now? Edification and consolation. Who of you guys ever need that? Well, then we should repent to one another. Because we've not been prophesying into one another's hearts. We've not been revealing pockets of revealed truth to one another. And we've not been saying, hey, Jolene, dis wat God sien oor jou lewe. Dis wat hy in hierdie tyd sien. Or, hey, Pauline, even though you're feeling like this or that, I just believe God wants to edify you like that. I do believe God says that you're an amazing mother. Don't ever question that. I believe he says that you're an amazing mother. And Jolene, by the way, for you, I see you in a, it's a klein oplos boekie, but God wants you to pick you up in a bigger ship. But you need to decide. I don't know where it is, what it is. It's maybe just a spiritual thing. But it's as if you've been trying some stuff on your own, but it's a bit wobbly, and he says, well, come, I've got a big boat. So you can just step over into that if you want to. But God can do that, and he should do this amongst us. Let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's not harden our hearts towards the prophetic and prophetic messages that God wants to do in and amongst us because of past hurt, because of true false prophets with wrong motivations out there, and because of people that maybe just whose gifts have gone to their heads and not their hearts. And let's ask in the same breath that will not be us. Because trust me, if God should bring forth a revival amongst us and in our midst and prophetically do the same, it is as easy as that. It's as easy as that, that you can lose the heart of Christ in what you do. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What our Messiah came and what he did for us and what he daily still does for us, reconnecting time and time again, reconnecting us with God and with God's truth. That witness, that story, is at the heart of prophecy. Way, truth, life. So if we go out and we prophesy into somebody's heart, we prophesy into this area, and there's amazing ways in which God can do it. Let's stay close to the way. Let's stay close to the truth. And let's stay close to the life. Will you guys stand with me, and I would like us to pray together. We don't all know each other's stories, and we don't have to go into detail, but if you've been hurt prophetically, well, firstly, it's technically not then prophetically, because you should not be hurt, but if in this whole mixture of man, sin, fallenness, yet godliness, supernatural, gifting, etc., you really feel that you've been hurt, if you heard something and it didn't come to pass, or you've too less or bigger degree have closed your heart to God's prophetic voice in your life and through your life. Let's close our eyes if you don't mind. Will you just raise your hand if you want us to pray for you just for healing and restoration? Is there anybody else that just, or even a prophecy, a specific prophecy that you either misunderstood or did not interpret correctly, or it has not come to pass yet, and that has really thrown you or stolen your faith? If that is you, you'll just maybe also raise your hand. Lord, I just thank you for these hands. I just thank you for these hands. I thank you for healing and restoration. And if it's a case of understanding, I'm not sure what I sense, Holy Spirit, but Johan, ek voel vir jou net soos Johan Barnard, ek voel net die Here sê gee tyd. This is something that he is doing. He's just saying, give time, gee tyd. Gee tyd, gee tyd. Thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. We just say, thank you, Lord, that you Just get him to a place to persevere and, you know, to give some time. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you just heal our hearts wherever we've been hurt prophetically or have misunderstood or even got offended with you, Father. We just ask firstly for repentance and then for restoration and healing. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father God. And then I just want to pray for our hearts. And you can decide here, but I've seen it just come to life in my life and in other people's lives. And I believe it's so in line with what the heart of prophecy is. And that is Matthew 5 verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I would first, before we ask for gifts, and we ask for manifestations and amazing words, I just want to pray for our hearts. So if you want to lift up your heart this morning to God, you can just symbolically just raise your hand. Just say that we're going to pray for our hearts. Because that's where it starts. Lord, we just lift up our hearts. Your word is clear that blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, Lord, we know that we cannot purify our own hearts, but we can come surrender our hearts, and you can do it. So we lift up these hearts, Lord, even our children that as we made. We lift up our hearts and we say, Jesus Christ, just come and cleanse us. Spirit of God, just come and convict us. Just come and straighten the things in our hearts so that we can, in God's sight, not in man's sight, in God's sight, have pure hearts, pure childlike hearts. Because I believe that is vessels with which you can work. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will seek God. And I pray that the heart of this church, the hearts amongst us, may it be pure hearts. Pure hearts washed by the blood of the Lamb. Cleansed by the perfect sacrifice. In covenant with God. Blessed are the pure in heart. I speak purity of our hearts. Not by own ability, but by your Spirit and by your word. I speak purity, speak purity, speak purity, purity, purity. Purity over the hearts in this church. Mine firstly. Thank you for purity of our hearts. Because blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And then two things. Firstly, we all have the ability to sin. But if you want to trust the Lord for, especially I believe in the seasons we might be heading in, it'll be needed or might be needed. If you want to trust the Lord for a gift of discernment, you just raise your hand. I'm going to ask that you come to the front. I'm just going to lay hands on you and pray for you. If you're comfortable, just come and stand in a line, and we're just going to take it by faith. The word says eagerly desire spiritual gifts, and we may ask, but we're going to ask as individuals. We're just going to ask for a gift of discernment in our lives so that we can discern spiritually what God wants to do. In Jesus' name. Who believes that they have a gift of discernment? You come and pray for them. Who else? Anybody else that believes? Yes? Can you just pray for them? Thanks.